This is Billy Broom and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And this week we're reading from my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and my call to help the prayers. I've just described in chapter 6 how I first went to work for Kenneth E. Hagin, and just by, you can go on the radio and listen to it or get the book, and by a strange turn of events, I ended up to be the editor of Kenneth Hagin Ministries in 1970. Now, it was the charismatic move, great move of God. And as he always does, the enemy attacked the move of God. Extreme submission teaching flooded charismatic meetings and publications. And, as is often the case, one of the enemy's targets was women. Women, according to this pervasive false teaching, could do almost nothing in the church. Not only could they not preach, they could make no decisions. Certainly not in the church, and if they had a husband, not even in their homes. Wives could in no wise have anything to do with spending the family's money. Without specific permission from their husbands, they could not balance bank accounts, even if they were good with budgets and figures, and their husbands were not. And according to one extreme teaching, when the gifts of the Spirit were moving in a service, wives were to move in close to their husbands for protection, sitting under their arms, for they were not capable to discern the spirits. They could read only the passages in the Bible that their husbands told them to read. Now, if their husbands were unbelievers, all the rules still applied. If their husbands went to bars and nightclubs, etc., they were to follow. If their husbands did not want the family to attend church, they were not to attend church. They were to stay at home with their husbands. They were in all cases to submit to their husbands without questions. Terrible things were happening in homes and churches as a result of such teachings. The Lord directed Kenneth E. Hagin to conduct a seminar and to bring forth truth from the Word of God on the matter. It was entitled, The Woman Question. It was my job to edit a book from the transcripts of the seminar. How ironic that the first book I edited from Kenneth E. Hagin's teachings was The Woman Question. I remember a life-changing day that came. I remember it very well. As I sat at my typewriter in the pink bedroom turned into an office, typing the truths from God's Word, as Brother Hagin elaborated on scripture after scripture, I began to cry. The Word was making me free, just as Jesus promised it would. Quote, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed," unquote. John 8:32-36. I remember laying my right arm over the typewriter, resting my face upon it, and weeping. A presence came into the room. I did not see anyone, but I sensed that someone from the realm of the Spirit was in my office in a high degree of manifestation. I believe it was either the Lord or an angel. A loving aura enveloped me. I did not look up from where my head was over the typewriter. Weeping, I asked aloud the question, "Do you mean I can answer the call to preach and not get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ?" "Yes, you can," the presence answered. "In fact, one day you will leave here and do just that. But right now, you don't know enough. And this is your Bible school." Chapter 8, School of the Spirit. Right away I saw that the practice of prayer in this ministry, Kenneth Hagin's ministry, was different than what I had known. I found out about a prayer called the prayer of faith. And I found out that there were other different kinds of prayers, only one of which needed the phrase, "If it be thy will." The denomination I grew up in prayed for the sick, all right. We did it in this manner. We put the names of the sick on a board and prayed that God would heal them, but we closed every prayer by saying, "If it be thy will." We were no more assured about each case after we prayed than we were before we prayed. It might be His will to heal one, and it might not be His will to heal another. You just never knew. Ignorance and the thief. Ignorance of God's word had long hindered me from receiving answers to prayer. For instance, I remember clearly a specific time that it did. We needed more money for our family of six. As the children grew, their needs grew. I decided to ask the Lord for Kent's income to increase. I prepared to approach the Lord. I chose a time when no one would be at home to interrupt. I dressed nicely. I cleaned our bedroom. I made up our bed with special care. There was not a wrinkle in the white bedspread. Then I knelt beside the bed, bowed my head, and began, "Dear Lord." I proceeded to set forth my cause with carefully designed words. We needed more money. I stressed, primarily for the children. Out of nowhere, a foreign thought invaded my mind. What about the starving children in India? It was not audible, yet I could hear it speaking in slowly enunciated, oh-so-religious sing-song tones. It made me feel selfish. So I stopped my petition and said, "Oh, Lord, that's all right. You take care of the starving children in India. Kit and I will figure out something for our children." As if God could be depleted. As if His supplying our four would somehow prevent Him from feeding four children on the other side of the world. He could feed all the starving children on the planet, and it would not deplete Him one iota. Now I know it was the thief coming to steal, who shot that pathetic thought across my mind. John 10:10. He not only did not want us to receive the immediate blessings we needed, He did not want me to know that I could pray and expect answers. Now I see the foolishness of it, and I remember quite well when I first saw just why it was so foolish. I heard a minister teach something to this effect, quote, "God is not moved by need. It is the devil that creates need. If God were moved by need, He would be following the devil. The devil would be leading God, and that will never happen. The devil would be starting fires, and God would be running around after the devil, putting them out. It is faith, not need, that receives from the kind, loving, giving hand of God. God has a wonderfully fair and safe plan whereby His blessings are available to all through the avenue of faith, and He is not compromised into following after the Creator of need." The Holy Spirit Helper in Prayer. Back in 1967, early in the week of Kenneth Hagin's seminar, I picked up a book off the book table. Now, this was when I first came into contact with Brother Hagin, 1967. The book's title was a hot title at the time, a hot book, Charismatic Move. John Sherrill's, it was his investigative book, They Speak with Other Tongues. A statement in that book intrigued me. Sherrill wrote that people who spoke with tongues claimed they could pray about things even when they didn't know how to pray in their known languages. I was so intrigued because of a tragedy, the sudden death of the 18-year-old daughter in a family who were close friends with my husband's family. Details were somewhat hush-hush. I sensed a great need for prayer, but I did not know how or what to pray. Later that week in the seminar, Kenneth E. Hagin expounded on the following scriptural basis for praying in tongues when you don't know what to pray for as you ought. Romans 8:26. "And in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Very soon after I heard Brother Hagin's lesson, I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the accompanying evidence of speaking with other tongues. One of the first things I did was pray in tongues for that family. I prayed in such faith, for I had the word on it. A strong anointing came upon me and my prayers for this dear family. The Spirit of the Lord was helping me to pray, and I knew it. A word of knowledge. But it was in 1970, not long after I went to work as editor at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, that I accidentally discovered how the gifts of the Spirit also work in prayer. To give you some background information, we had two huge typesetting machines called Justa Writers, which we used to put out the word of faith. The big black monstrosities, now dinosaurs of the publishing world, were about the size of a refrigerator. Each machine produced only one size of type. One produced 12-point and the other produced 8-point. The operator, me at the time, sat at the keyboard on the front and typed the copy. It came out on white paper ready for paste-up. The copy was justified, aligned on both the left and the right. These archaic machines saved us time and money. We could produce our own printouts without sending copy outside to typesetters. Our just-a-writers were old even then and quite sensitive. The only company that serviced them was in Oklahoma City. We were in Tulsa. I had barely learned to use them when, with a deadline looming, one just-a-writer produced badly broken type. A repairman could not come for days, yet I did not think to pray about it. After supper that evening, I got a phone call asking me to pray about a very sick baby. So I went into the parlor of our old home to pray. The parlor was the one room that was always neat, and I could close the French doors for privacy. I knelt beside the fancy old brown velvet sofa and prayed for the baby. Then I began to pray in the spirit in tongues. After a very short time, I heard a voice in my spirit. It was the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. It was clear. You have put the ribbon on upside down. Turn the ribbon over. Just-a-writers, like typewriters, used ribbons. I couldn't wait to get to work the next morning. When I arrived, I ran right upstairs to the troubled just-a-writer. I removed the ribbon and turned it over. It worked! The Holy Spirit was right. The spiritual gift called, the word of knowledge, gave me the answer to a very natural problem. As I prayed, God has all knowledge. Just as a word is a fragmentary part of a sentence, the gift of the word of knowledge is a fragmentary part of the knowledge of God. I learned by experience that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit work in prayer. And so it began, my school of the Spirit. From elementary levels through intermediate steps, it continues to this day. Our subject in this book is prayer, specifically praying in the end of days. So I will make an effort to confine herein the lessons I've learned through many years to those associated with prayer. Everything I share later in the how-to section of this book began with those baby steps back at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. My schooling progressed more and more through the many generals in prayer that the Lord brought across my path. And very early on, the Lord made me to know I had a heritage of prayer, even Holy Ghost praying in tongues prayer. It came to me through my father's family. We'd be glad to send you a copy of my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and my call to help the prayers. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 or go online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org, or write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. That's Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. For $10, we'll send you one copy of the new book, or you can send $100 to get 10 copies. We'll get them right out to you, and we will pay the postage. Just $10, we'll give you the postage. We'll be looking to hear from you. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim, inviting you to come and be with me tomorrow as we go back to my new book that you can receive.